heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
So I was wondering back when Joe Biden kind of clinched that coveted seat to be the Democrat presidential candidate nominee, if you will, out of that whole gang of socialists there. They head up on the, on the debate stages and all. And you remember the fraction in the Democrat Party with certainly Bernie Sanders, who has sort of been their poster child for, you know, what socialism can do for you in your life, you know, like the 10 easy, quick steps on how to screw everything up, you know. So that's Bernie Sanders there. And of course, his sidekick, AOC, who really, I'll tell you what, for a young woman who has about probably the lowest IQ of any really politician that I've seen, separate from probably Anthony Weiner and Hillary Clinton, that is, she would be at the top of that list of people that have a very low IQ. And but yet she has made such a name for herself. It is remarkable. She is like the Eva Perón of our time, you know, sadly, or, you know, strangely as it sounds. But there's this weird relationship going on there that, and here's what's happened with this whole Democrat Socialist Party movement, extravaganza. So what they've been trying to do, they've been talking to, you know, again, Sanders and AOC over here on the side and trying to give them all of their, their promises on the Green New Deal or the New Green Deal or the new bend over plan, you know, or how to screw up the United States in five easy steps. There's a lot of ways you could name that book very clearly, right? And so they've been trying to do that, but very quietly kind of thing. You know, you notice that at all, how weird that is? Because, well, you kind of can't put that out in full daylight. First of all, get sunstroke and have the climate change problem. But people will be on to the gag at that point. So they've been trying to kind of bring it in subtly because, truth be told, here's a real revelation for you here. Here's the truth be told is that climate change just isn't in the top group of concerns that Americans have as they vote here the next president. It's not in the top 10. Yeah, it's not there. And I'll tell you that in just moments here. But yeah, no. So that's why they've been doing this sidestep. But you see, that fraction within the party there, the Socialist Democrat Party, is very clear. And, you know, they've got to be sensitive because, again, as I've been reporting to you in really past weeks and months now, I really believe this could, and I truly mean this could very well be the end of the road for the Democrat Party as you knew them and as they are. And I think they may have to take on another name and another brand. And that's as the moderates and the independents and the JFK Dems all pick up the scraps on the floor after they've destroyed the party. You know, the whole, what Barack Obama did to it with this Marxist ideology, but also from there to Hillary Clinton in what she did to the whole party. But then you add AOC and Bernie Sanders, and now you have a love fest for stupidity, you see? And so that's what's happened in that party there. It's really, it's just changed so much. I mean, since we were kids, I mean, by golly, you can't recognize it now. So I think it's going to go the way of the Whig Party back in the 1860s when that went bye-bye and the Republicans took over from them. And that's, you know, back in the day when Abraham Lincoln became the first Republican president. And so a lot's happened since then. And, you know, ironically, they've been talking about you remember this, just not too long ago, they say, oh, the Republicans are so dysfunctional. Oh, my God. You know, please give me a break. You know, it was never that way, actually. In fact, truth be told, again, it was, you can argue with me if you like, but I'm going to suggest to you, It really was DJT who came in and kicked them all in the ass and probably saved the Republican Party. Now, some of you may or may not agree with that. I don't know, but I'm just looking at the facts here because they were getting a little weird there for a while. But I think basically his, you know, straight out kick in the ass has woken them all up a little bit there, really. And really, you know, I'll tell you another thing, which is mind blowing, actually. He's actually made the Republican Party more conservative, which is really unbelievable. I mean, you wouldn't have guessed this one some years ago. I mean, this was a guy who was a Democrat at one time. It's hard to believe. But he is, I mean, we're looking at an amazing moment of American politics, truly. And Donald Trump has completely reshaped the Republican Party. You could almost rename that party as well, quite frankly, if you wanted to. Which I wouldn't have a problem with that either, quite frankly, because I think both Republicans and Democrats are pretty twisted, you know, the truth of the matter is. But again, I'd like to see a more conservative party, and that would come under DJT, quite frankly. And so there we are. There's my aha moment for the day. So now you got it right there. And so this whole thing, again, back to AOC, Bernie Sanders, and, you know, and of course, you know, the new love child for the Socialist Democrats, and that is Joe Biden and the sidekick, one of the most leftist socialist people in the party, and that is Kamala Harris. You got to pronounce that Kamala or whatever they say, however they pronounce that, right? Kamala, potato, patata, right? I mean, a socialist is a socialist is a socialist, no matter how you call it or whatever you dress it up as, right? You put the, what do they say? You put the lipstick on the pig. Is that what that was all about? So in any event, that's, I think, what's happened. I think there's that big breakup in the party. And so they've been really, really quiet. Really quiet about this climate change because the New Green Deal, because first of all, it is, you know, listen, let's just be all real with each other. It's the most nonsensical evolution concept, thought process coming from these left-based socialist lunatics that there has been, by golly, in decades and decades. It's pretty out there, people. I mean, the fact that we could, you know, bankrupt our nation and the economy and spend trillions of dollars and just throw us in a hellhole just to say, well, we accomplished something. We don't know what we accomplished, but, you know, we're going to save our. I mean, these people are. And so when you really look at this and you drill down, and you're going to learn a lot today, by the way, more than just my ranting and my daily therapy with you here. You know, this helps me a lot. I hope it helps you. But it certainly helps me stay sane in all this craziness, man, you know. Well, listen, talk about craziness. Did you see Joe Biden in the wheat fields just about a week or two ago, a couple weeks back there? He was in the wheat fields there. You remember? And it was a strange affair. He had all the wheat. And, you know, if you've seen the video or the commercial on that thing as well, you might recall he had the bugs on his shoulder. And it looked like a horror flick of the parade of the bugs attack Biden in the fields there. It was a very weird whole expose put out by the Socialist Democrats with all those bugs attacking Biden. The bugs get Biden. You know, that'd be the new thriller there, huh? Well, so a lot's happened in this whole election climate change. And I want to talk to you today, and I'll get serious at some moment here. I promise you. I'll do that a moment when I bring on Dr. J. Lair and Tom Harris for sure. OK, so you won't just hear me ranting for the next hour. You'll have some intellect on here as well. Go figure, huh? So this whole thing, again, I want to go back to, well, there was an interesting recent meeting with Governor Newsom, Well, keep it in the family with Pelosi. They're all related there. And really, they truly are related in more ways than one out there. First of all, they're all brain dead. They are sort of connected. And Trump was out there with Newsom. You know, they're having all these forest fires and most of the California is burning. And a lot of the West Coast states are having some issues. Well, part of the problem is they talk about, well, try clearing your floors of the forest, maybe, so it doesn't look like a chimney sweep coming in here. And we just set this up for a little campfire, you know, with the Boy Scouts or something, right? Maybe you might clean that stuff off a little bit. Oh, my God. You know, I mean, geez, what a brilliant idea the president had. You might do some, you know, forestation here and clean up a little bit here. Maybe you'll have a little bit less fires. But no, no, no. They go ahead and blame it on. What do you think? It's the climate. It's the climate. So Trump, let's get into a couple of things here. So the fires are—they're tearing. You know, they're doing some major damage on them. And people are being being killed from these fires, and the devastation is pretty incredible. You've been seeing that for sure. Some historical fires, from what I understand. So the president comes out while he's touring these fire ravaged California, and he starts to downplay it a little bit with Newsom now, and this gets kind of interesting. Follow me a moment here now. And they're talking about the devastation and suggesting the temperatures. President Trump says the temperatures are going to start getting cooler. Well, this, of course, sends the left wild. They get they like their hair starts to curl almost immediately when he starts talking like this. The president, you know, what do you mean it's going to get cool? It's global warming. It's not global cooler. They go crazy. And so he says, well, you got a lack of, you know, proper forest management. Oh, my God. There it is right there. Brilliant. Trump does it again. Solves the whole problem immediately. Well, of course, Newsom wasn't having some of that, but he was trying to be delicate because, you see, Trump and him have really become best buds. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah, they're best buds. That's right. Governor Newsom and President Trump. And they really are. I mean, Newsom thinks the world of Trump. More than you realize, actually, and I'll prove that to you in just a moment here. But this whole thing is so Newsom was sort. And let me read you this here, actually, from the San Francisco Chronicle. And you hear it from them. They go on to explain during this recent visit of the charred remains, and they get into all of that. And Gavin Newsom declared that he was tired of the ideological BS. And I think the BS stands for brilliant superstar. You know what I mean? And urged people to reject the politicians in denial about the climate dam emergency. That's his words, climate dam emergency facing the country. So I hadn't heard it quite put that way. Climate dam emergency instead of just climate emergency. It's a climate dam emergency. Wow, that's even more extreme. Amazing. All right. So the Chronicle goes on to say, days later, meeting with President Trump near Sacramento, Newsom soft-pedaled an opportunity to challenge the nation's highest ranking climate change denier. You hear the crowd in the back, the gasp go, oh my God. Humbly asking the president to please respect the difference of opinion out here as it relates to the fundamental issue of climate change. So, and this that's his words now. Newsom actually used those words in quotes now. The difference of opinion out here as it relates to the fundamental issue of climate change. But please respect, he's being really nice. That's not normal for him. You know, a leftist lunatic, usually they're not nice. Yeah, but he was being super nice. But part of this whole deal, so so the Chronicle and the papers out there and the people were really, really ripped at Newsom because he didn't go after and tear Trump a new one. You see, they weren't happy with him, bottom line, right? And so after all of that, you got to remember, Newsom has been praising Trump. I mean, really, that's why I mean they're best buds, because he has, in fact, he said he praised his strong personal relationship. That's his words now. Newsom said that. Can you believe that? He actually said in his strong personal relationship. Wow, man. Can't even figure that one out. Could you see them two sitting at a bar having a drink, Newsom and Trump, and just talking about the good old days? Or that's got to be quite a scene, I guess. And then Pelosi walks in and everybody drops their glasses. Oh, man. So strong with President Trump on emergency response. And so this is just the day after, by the way, jabbing at the president. And they called it jabbing. You know, he didn't get outrageous. He didn't smack the president. He just jabbed him a little bit, you see. Listen, as I'll end with this. So Newsom says, I develop good personal relationships. We maintain a strong personal relationship with the vice president as well. We maintain a strong personal relationship with the president. He then finishes up and says this. And this is startling now. So this is Newsom's words. Brace yourself. And this is startling. He says, and I quote, "There's not one phone call that I have made to the president where he hasn't quickly responded. And almost in every instance, he has responded favorably in addressing the emergency needs of this state." OMG. Well, you just know they're having a heart attack in boardrooms on the East Coast when he said that. What the hell's Newsom doing? He's killing the election on us, man. He actually likes Trump. I mean, so listen, I have a whole new respect for Nutty Newsom now. I mean, the fact that he actually told the truth. But anyways, you know, as I regress back to the wheat fields with Biden, with the bugs crawling all over him and that horror flick they put out there, the DNC. Well, he was in a wheat field in Zimbabwe. No, it was Delaware. Close to Zimbabwe, but it was actually Delaware. And he referred to the president as a climate arsonist. Wow. He says this, Biden, "If you give a climate arsonist four more years in the White House, why would anyone be surprised if we have more of America ablaze? If you give a climate denier four more years in the White House, why would anyone be surprised that, you know, when America is underwater? Well, are we burning or are we swimming? I don't really know, Biden. You said that in one sentence. I'm not sure what the hell we're doing, but we're doing one or the other. Anyways, wow, wow, wow. So listen, Pew Research says this thing is not even in the top 10 for Americans. I would suggest to you, my fellow Americans, that, well, a good many Americans have already figured out this ruse. They already know that this thing is not what it is that they're selling, you see. Now, I've got a lot of proof today to throw at you here. Not my proof, but proof from Dr. Jay Lehrer and Tom Harris, who know far more about this stuff than I know. But I'll get the guys on, the experts on, in just a moment here. And the numbers are pretty striking. By the way, and this just is something you probably understand. 68% of Democrat voters see climate change as a high priority compared to 11% of Republicans. And that was part of that Pew Research. But overall, it's not in the top 10. And so the president has dismissed it as a hoax. And he says that they are perennial prophets of doom. Kind of can't say it any better myself, actually. We'll take a quick pause, my fellow Americans, and we'll be back in just a moment with more Voice of a Nation.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
I want to start with this economic ruse. Let me bring on Dr. Jay Lehrer. Let me tell you about both first. Dr. Jay is a senior policy analyst with the International Climate Science Coalition, former science director of the Heartland Institute, and overall a smart guy. Tom Harris is executive director of the Canada-based International Climate Science Coalition. He is also a smart guy. I'm not sure which one's smarter. They probably would tell me they're both equal, but we'll start with Dr. Jay Lehrer. And Dr. Jay, let's discuss this, what I call an economic ruse here. And I start with the BBC report on this whole climate change with the Paris Agreement, pulling out of the Paris Agreement. which was probably one of the biggest successes that Trump has accomplished. Let's start there and talk about that. What was that? How significant was that?
Well, it was very significant, Malcolm, but it goes back way before that. In 1962, there was a UN meeting in which they recognized that if they could get everybody worried about climate change, they could really install socialist governments across the world, because if in fact man had some control over the climate, which he has zero, but if he did, then the governments of the world would have to be in charge of everything in order to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. That was the construct for our being in charge. So this has been going on now for well over 50 years, and China just came along for the ride and bought in, and the Paris Agreement, you know, codified it all, that everybody was going to chip in, to reduce their carbon dioxide emissions. Man-caused climate change is the biggest hoax ever perpetrated on society, but it hasn't been perpetrated as a joke or for fun. The idea was to destroy capitalism and run the world on socialism, which just merges into communism, which has gotten stronger and stronger. And what we've done, Tom and I, in writing about the subject, have to simplify it by explaining to the public that the real things that affect the Earth's climate are its rotation, the Earth's rotation around the sun, which every 40,000 years, the Earth goes from being 82 million miles away to 120 million miles away. And right now we're 93 million miles away. It also deals with the tilt of the Earth's axis, which varies a couple of degrees over many thousands of years. It varies with the wobble of the Earth on its axis. These are huge things that affect how much solar radiation strikes the Earth. And the sun itself has 11 and 22 year cycles where the amount of radiation coming to the Earth varies. So these are things totally out of control of man. And recently we wrote an article just saying that if man's going to control the climate, he has to change things going on in the solar system, which is patently absurd. So we wrote an article saying it's a joking matter. Right. It's not funny, but if Mr. Biden gets in office, he is going to try to eliminate the use of fossil fuels, which produce carbon dioxide, telling people that will stop climate change. It will not stop climate change, but it will triple the cost of energy and basically send us back to a standard of living in the middle of the 19th century.
All right. Brilliant. Well said. That's a great precursor to what I want people to understand today when you hear Dr. Jay Laird, what he puts out there. And he just laid out one, two, three. Now, I got to tell you what, it's as profound as it could be. And the article he's referencing, we've definitely got I think it's a brilliant, absolutely one of the most brilliant reads I've read on this topic ever. It's called Stopping Climate Change is a Laughing Matter. And I feel so strongly about this that I'm already thinking about how to keep this up on the platform and repackage the topic, because it is so essential we get this information, we educate the American people as to what is really happening, that I'm already thinking, sometimes when you have a brilliant article, you don't want it to go away. You want to keep it relevant. This is one of those right here that you want to absolutely keep relevant. And I'm really, I don't know how else to say it. And so when you look at all of this, and Jay, I want to come back to some of those points in just a moment that you put out there. But let me bring on Tom and say this here first to Tom Harris. And Tom, I listen to Jay's precursor there that he puts out. And I, you know, what came to my mind is this: with all of this said, and you really think about, you know, what you guys lay out there in this piece, we'll talk about something in just a moment here, but I got to tell you, this is probably one of the most really, I think, biggest concerns, one of the issues that we really need to pay attention, and I'll tell you why I really think it is. Now, what worries me is that it's not in the top 10 for Americans. Now, while that can be considered a good thing, you say, well, Malcolm, that's a good thing because that means Americans are not really believing in this climate change thing. But why it's a bad thing is that sometimes it's not on the radar screen, Tom. And what happens is when you have the political elites, you know, pulling the levers and pushing the levers of power back there, and this could truly put our country and our nation at such a deficit that it would be, I mean, like Jay says, this is like the appetizer. This is the entree way to a socialist environment. But it's more than that. This will ruin us as a nation and as a civilized society. This is as screwy as it gets, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people have to realize that quietly behind the scenes, enormous amounts of money are being spent on this. The Climate Policy Initiative out of San Francisco, they estimate that about $500 billion a year that they track, and it's probably a lot more than that, but that's how much is going to climate finance. And most of it, 95% of it, is going to try to stop climate change. So even if it's not in the top 10 issues, it certainly must be in the top 10 issues financially, because it costs an absolute fortune.
What this would do if it was ever implemented. But the thing is, what worries me is what you just said, is that it's not getting the publicity or the traction about how screwy all this is and the danger that it would do. But yet they are playing large sums of money and they are doing, and there's a lot of power. In other words, there was a lot of funny politics going on in the back boardrooms when Bernie Sanders and AOC was being courted, if you will, from Joe Biden and his people, because they knew full well the fraction in the Socialist Democrat Party, and they knew there's nowhere they could win without these other, because the party is no longer, the Democrat Party is good. They just haven't changed the name yet, but it is so far gone, and it's been happening now for some time now. It didn't happen overnight. Tom, the things you put in this piece here, you and Jay, is, now listen to this, people. Just listen to me a minute here. Listen to the things that would have to happen. These are the things that this is brilliantly put out there. So what they're saying is, if we could do all of this, they put a list of 14 things out here. If we could do these things, we could legitimately solve climate change. Now, you could sleep better tonight knowing that, but here's the price we'd have to pay. I'll give you a few of them. We'd have to stop the solar system from revolving around our galaxy, you see. We'd have to stop nearby stars from going supernova, you see. We'd have to stop Earth's orbit from changing. We'd have to stop the variation in the Earth's rotational tilt. You see what's happening here. We'd have to there are so much. We'd have to stop the ocean currents from changing. We'd have to stop our planet's cloud cover from changing. I mean, people, this list of things was absolutely a brilliant way to do it. And so when you look at all of this and you understand that this would be the cost of emission, that this stuff is impossible. But then again, climate change, this is why I like this, Jay, is it puts it in simple terms for those who don't follow this to understand the joke that is climate change. And it's one thing to say, well, our climate's always changing, and the other person nods their head and says, yeah, I understand. Sure it does. But still, we can do something to help it out. And then you think, you're really never accomplishing the answer to the argument back and forth. But this list here should stop somebody in their tracks, Jay, and say, oh my golly, there is no way. Climate change is an evolution of our being. It's an evolution of our being here and being on Earth, right?
Well, Malcolm, that was exactly our goal. I have been aware, Tom Weisfeller and Willie Soon and I put together this list of 14 variables that are not considered
brilliant
in any of the climate models, and we've been talking about them for actually a couple of years. But Tom Harris turned them around and put them in a format that has to make people laugh. I mean, if you believe and if it makes sense that all of these things affect the climate of the Earth, that it would be absurd, impossible. Man has no control over it. These things, and therefore we have no control over climate, and then maybe eventually we can stop the $500 billion a year being spent around the world to stop the world from changing its climate. It can't be done. So we really want people to laugh about it. And you're so right about wanting to keep this article in some form on your platform, because I have ideas for numerous articles using the same approach.
Oh, yeah. Jay, I'm telling you, I knew it as soon as I read this piece. This was absolutely brilliant. Let me talk to you about the orbital shape here and what happens around the Earth, Jay, specifically, because I'm really fascinated with this. And you forget this from science class. You know, you remember, we all have a lot on our minds these days, and we don't always remember some of those science lessons we learned back in the day. But this is a perfect one here. Now, you're saying here, and you just said, I think a few moments ago here, 83 million miles to 120 million miles. Is that the range?
That's correct. We've taken elliptical orbit around the sun, right. And it's at its closest, it's 83 million miles. At its farthest, it's 120 million. Right now, we're at 93 million.
How long does it take to get to the other side of that, please, Jay?
40,000 years.
40,000 years. So this ain't happening in our next lifetime for sure, our grandkids or anything else, huh?
We'll stay for 93 million miles away in our lifetime.
Now, when it gets, if it gets to the 120 million miles, let's just play a little bit. What's happening to us?
We have ice ages where the Earth will be very cold again.
That's the ice age there at 102. What about 83? What are we looking like there, please?
It'd be really, really hot. Tropical, dense forests, like when the dinosaurs walked around. The climate of this planet will change dramatically over these 40,000 years. But for the most part, we are so smart, we can adapt to these changes if we look at it from a long view.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to me, this 83 to 120, Tom. And, you know, guys, I've been watching a lot of these documentaries about Mars, and I've just been so fascinated lately. I have to, in full disclosure to all of you, but guys, because I know we're going to get on Mars at some point ahead, I know it's going to happen. And I've been trying to get just really understand the semantics behind all of that. And I'm so fascinated with the fact, because we really don't know if there was some sort of life, probably on Mars there was at one point. Probably. Tom, do you think there was? Let me ask you that question.
Yeah, I think there's a very good chance.
Yeah.
Early in Mars's history, it was apparently a wet planet.
That's right.
And so, you know, you have wet and you have a thicker atmosphere then. Right now, it's mostly carbon dioxide and it's very thin. But even now, you know, they see evidence from the Mars orbital probes. They can see evidence of flash floods that have actually occurred in the last century. So it's not only ancient Mars that could have had life. It's possible that it has now, because what happens is there are artesian wells, basically, you know, where the water is comes bursting out of the surface. It flows down the mountainside and it sublimes into gas very quickly because the atmospheric pressure is so low. But the fact that there is water on Mars now suggests that perhaps under the surface there is still some sort of microbial life. And I think it's very likely that we'll find evidence of life from a very long time ago when Mars was in fact wet. And you know, it's interesting because Elon Musk talks about returning Mars basically to the kind of conditions that existed hundreds of millions of years ago by terraforming Mars, purposely building the atmosphere up so that it's actually a warm, wet place again. Now that's a long way away. We're talking about centuries in the future, but indeed that could be one of our next homes.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm sensing. And the reason I think it's interesting, because, Jay, when we look at Mars and the current conditions of Mars and how harsh it is there, I guess is what I'm looking at there. And then you, like Tom saying, the water factor, there actually is water. And you understand the evolution of life. I'm thinking that this way, Jay, I'm thinking that Mars is somewhere in the evolution of where Earth is at some other point of time. And then my mind starts to move really quick, Jay. And I'm thinking, well, what is really God's plan in all this? Is it for us to like jump planets and stuff? Or like when he created this whole solar system sort of thing, you know? And I'm thinking, Jay, like that, like what is, because when you really understand Mars, and it's sometimes some people would think it's just a futile exercise, But it really does help us a lot here with understanding what the stakes are here on Earth and what future generations are going to have to deal with, doesn't it?
Yes, Malcolm, you described it very well. That's the reason why we study the solar system and study the other planets, because it gives us insight as to the derivation of how the Earth was formed, what position we are in the evolution of the Earth. And that is certainly one of the reasons we are studying Mars. It doesn't have a bearing on current or present day life. As Tom said, terraforming Mars is centuries, if not thousands of years into the future, but it all adds knowledge. And it should also tell us how irrelevant we are. Our life on the planet itself is irrelevant to the evolution of the planet and its climates and its ice ages. This whole idea of man-caused climate change is so arrogant. It's just absolutely amazing that people can be so arrogant that they think they can overcome the forces of nature, because that's all what we are talking about.
There are real opportunities here as well to not only grow and develop more historic and our experience of what could potentially happen with human life. And I just have such an appreciation now, and I really have an appreciation more so of you guys in the science community and the way you study this for a living. And we're so blessed to have, many who circle around our platform here to help keep us smart. And it allows us to have these kinds of programs here, Jay and Tom. And so this is, I really look at this as a complete blessing here to be able to put this information out to folks. But more than that, bringing it back now to election 2020 and what's really happening here with, these last many years, because you really cannot take anything for granted. And as soon as you think it doesn't matter, there's always some evil, character that's looking to push some of the narrative onto an unsuspecting public, if you will, for many reasons. And we've been pointing those reasons out, but it happens significantly and it happens enough. And this is kind of one of those moments I see with climate change and all. And President Trump is the kind of guy who says, hey, come on, climate change. It's been happening forever in the evolution of our existence. Now, he's done more to turn back the climate change when I think these profiteers that you guys go against and you constantly are, lifting the curtain up to show these characters out there. There are plenty of Al Gore types out there, clearly. And you're constantly lifting that curtain up to talk about that. But I think when it comes to educating the public, we really still got to understand, how do we drive this out there? Because let me just say this, and then we'll pause here a moment, but let me say this. There are a lot of people who follow AOC and Bernie Sanders. And I got to tell you this, here's the other problem. It's not all happy in paradise here, because, a lot of these people that we're speaking about right now, there's a whole generation, people, it's called the Zoomers, the Z generation, and the millennials for that matter, who absolutely believe. And these people, they're running around with signs on. I can show you around. Just go to your favorite search engine, whatever it may be. There's no planet B. There's no planet. You'll see those all over the place, those kinds of signs. These people have been indoctrinated now with this belief system that the Earth is really ending and that, we can do something about it somehow. They don't really get the whole schism of climate change and the scam that it is. So there's a lot here, and it's important you all know that out there, and it's important we continue to drive this narrative out there. This brilliant piece, by the way, that we just talked about, which you must read, and we are going to keep it pretty live and upfront on the platform there, is entitled Stopping Climate Change is a Laughing Matter. And it's just really good because it'll educate you from the beginning and what the real challenges are, but why man cannot control the inevitable. It is not possible, no matter what the greedy politician tells you next. We'll be back in just a moment with more Voice of the Nation. Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the Vision of the Voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
So we are always doing our best here to raise the stakes and pull the blinders off here so that you understand where the out loud truth really is. Tom Harris, I'm worried. I'm worried about Generation Z, the millennials, and the people who are not paying attention. And it's because when you look at the current generation, I'm telling you, these people are all running around, and they truly are convinced, Tom. And I'm talking, there are tens of millions of them around the planet, clearly. And they really believe that this is all our doing and that they've convinced this public. And these people are not understanding the whole dinosaur theory of where we stand today. I'm worried about it. What do we do?
Yeah, it's really a threat, actually, to our civilization, because it's something called negative anticipation. You know, various sociologists and psychologists have looked at it, and they actually say that the lack of a positive vision of alternative futures is in itself a threat to survival. And that makes sense. I mean, if people are feeling that the world's going to hell in a handbasket, then why bother going to school? Why bother, you know, trying to build the country, because we're all going to die? And so, I mean, yes, this is something that is very destructive to our society at large and something we really have to combat. I mean, there's huge numbers of amazingly good things going on. And, you know, we hear about extreme weather, but if you actually look at the statistics, the number of people who are actually killed by extreme weather events has been dropping for decades. Now, of course, a lot of the costs have been going up because we have more people living in areas that are at risk of things like hurricanes. But if you actually do a search on the internet, it's quite amazing to see that the number of people killed in extreme weather events has been going down, down, down. And of course, there's lots of other very good things happening in the world. So we really need to start focusing more on that. This negative news all the time is very damaging, especially to young people.
Well, you summed it up really well in a piece you wrote, some months ago, Tom. And it was one of my favorite pieces, actually. Climate alarmists used George Orwell's duck speak in Language War. And so you were talking about the duck speak, if you remember back in George Orwell days there. And so that's kind of what you're saying, aren't you? That they're using this duck speak language to screw people up.
Yes, exactly. And I encourage people to read the appendix to George Orwell's 1984. It's a 10-page appendix.
And it talks
about something called newspeak.
Yes, newspeak.
It's a language that was created by the state to suppress independent thinking and to make the public think just in the way the government wants. And duckspeak is sort of a subset of newspeak. Duckspeak is an automatic language that comes from the believer in the government's point of view, the way the quacking of a duck just comes directly from the larynx. It doesn't require any thinking. Stop climate change! You know, that sort of thing is pure duck speak. Doesn't mean anything of any significance, but it trains people to think in the way the government and, of course, the extremists want.
Well, this is really, Jay, the challenge we're having today in today's political world is the newspeak. And yet that's perfectly said, because this subject covers a lot of the political conversations we're having right now when it comes to just this election season, that things are being twisted. In other words, things are not what they always appear, Jay. There's a lot of trickery going on, and that's newspeak.
Malcolm, as the leading optimist on this platform, let me give you an optimistic viewpoint, even if Mr. Biden were to win the election. Right now, the only thing that's going to defeat Donald Trump is the fact there are people out there that just don't like his personality. They absolutely hate Trump, and they ignore the fabulous job he did in improving our economy before the pandemic. Things were just going better than ever before. If Mr. Biden were to win and he follows through with the Democratic platform of eliminating fossil fuels and trying to run the world on wind and solar, increasing our taxes so that he could give away things to people who are undeserving, our economy is going to plummet. Everything the Democratic platform says they are going to do will be an abject failure. And in that 4 years of his term, were he to win, finally the public will fight back. There'll be a tremendous backlash, and the Democrats will be thrown out in the next election. I am 100% sure of that. I hope we don't have to experience it. I hope Mr. Trump gets another 4 years to put the economy back on track at the end of the pandemic. But if he does not, we are going to experience such a tremendous economic disaster when we start cutting out fossil fuels and coal plants and natural gas and nuclear plants in favor of wind and solar everywhere. Our standard of living will go back to about 1850, and people are not going to like it.
There are a great many of people, and many of you listening, I know many of you listening out there would fall into this camp, and I say this respectfully now, but who really believe that this election is a doom and gloom situation, that if President Trump does not win, the world has indeed ended, and it is over. You can put a fork in it, Sally, we're all done. And there are many who really, truly believe, and I feel your pain. I hear your pain. I feel that passion. I get it from conservatives from sea to shun and sea. And I understand fully. And we all understand Trump has made a significant contribution to, I mean, he's a historical president. Let me say right now, they'll be looking back. I told you this 4 years ago. I told you this 3 years ago, and I told you 2 years ago, and I'm telling you today. We will look back at another time and know that we have lived through some historical moments of time that other generations will not be able to say the same. Much of that is because of Donald J. Trump and what has happened to our landscape, but it's also because our country had got to a very dangerous, reckless place with Barack Hussein Obama. And you have to put the Hussein in there when you talk about him as a Marxist, because he is a Marxist. And so I'm not trying to be a smart guy here. I'm being factual with you all. And so when you look at that, that dangerous pivot of our nation, I said it 10 years ago, our country snaps back to the other side. Well, it did that. What Jay is pointing out right now is very important that we all understand. And he is an optimist. He's an optimist to a fault almost. So I don't want to suggest to you that it doesn't matter, or we all become part of the stupid farm, or that, you know, we can take it, because I don't want anybody taking anything for granted. Please don't take anything for granted. Please. You need to get out there and you fight. Every vote is going to matter, especially when you want to keep an originalist and a constitutionalist Supreme Court. It absolutely matters all the way through. Having said all of that, we're not going to end or in a fiery ball that's going to drop through hell. I mean, there's a purpose to all of this. And Jay, you put it out there perfectly when you just say what you say to remind people across the spectrum that you can never underestimate the power of the American people, the force that is, and that's a great lesson. Tom, what do you say to that, what Jay says there? Because I think he is so pivotal, he reminds everybody about what he says there.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because if you actually look at our standard of living, the kind of life that we have today in comparison, even with when I was young, I mean, we really have a very, very good society. And, the people who are trying to tear it down, you have to ask them, well, you know, what are you going to replace it with? Are you going to replace it with the 1850 conditions and then try to feed, you know, so many more people? Well, in fact, what would happen is you go back to the 1850 level, but it wouldn't be an 1850 effect. You would have mass starvation across the country because we need the high technology to actually feed people. So the idea, you know, some people think we could return to a simpler way of living. Mm-hmm. Well, not with 350 million people in the United States. I mean, you know, we have seen since 1790, and I was looking at the statistics the other day of the population, we've seen about an 8,000% growth in population in the United States since 1790. You know, so I mean, there has to be new technology used. Otherwise, we're just going to simply see anarchy and mass starvation. So mm-hmm. people better protect their society as it currently exists.
Amen.
Because the alternative is pretty bad.
Well, Tom, when you say we're a good society as a whole, and you say that, and you know, my antenna went up when you said it, and I said, oh, okay, Tom's saying that. There is something to look forward to. But then why are we at each other's throats so much today? Why? Is it because the stakes are that much higher, or what's really going on?
Well, I think a lot of it is because the media focuses on what's negative. You know, we see that throughout the press where you change from channel to channel and all you get practically is negative news. I mean, the average American, the average Canadian where I live is a friendly person. You talk to them, they're not out to get you, you know, but you don't hear that in the news. You hear the exceptional cases, the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter and all the other, you know, real wackos who are not representative of the average person. And that's why I find it so sad that the media focus on this minority of anarchists and troublemakers, when in fact the average person is quite a lovable, nice, normal person. But we just don't get that impression. And, you know, especially shut-ins, seniors who watch the news a lot, they would think that, you know, the country was going to hell. But in fact, most people are decent, honest, hardworking people, and they want governments who will be strong and stand up to the bullies who are essentially trying to ruin our society.
I think people needed to hear this talk today, Jay, because you don't get that sense out there. And a lot of it is because, as Tom really truthfully points out, the media narratives, which I focused, by the way, on the weekend on Viewpoint. This was exactly my focal point, was all the stories and the conversations we're having right now in today's, you know, news cycle, all come back to this, the lack of truth in the media, Jay. It's the lack of any sense of truth. And I think it's probably the single biggest story that will be written about today's lifestyle, who let us down. To me, it's got to be the fourth estate. It's not so much that there is bad news, but it's the fact of the drumbeat that they put out there. Jay, it's really worrisome.
Yes, it's really been going on for a long time, but it has been magnified a few orders of magnitude. We all know the saying, if it bleeds, it leads. That has always been the journalistic motto. And so we've always seen more bad news in the media than good news. But when the Socialist Party really totally took over all of the newspapers and television stations and many of the radio stations, then it was just multiplied over and over again, so that it is very difficult to get any real news. I subscribed to the Wall Street Journal for 50 years, and I finally canceled my subscription 2 months ago, because they clearly joined the fray on the liberal side. And I now subscribe to a weekly Epoch Times that is absolutely magnificent in giving me the kind of information, unbiased, that I need. But the media is to blame. Nobody could say it better than what Tom said. And of course, social media has made it worse. It's the same thing in all of Facebook and the things that are controlled by them. And this, it's very hard growing up today to have a positive attitude. I am optimistic. I think Mr. Trump will win, and he'll be able to really take charge for 4 years without facing another election. But if Mr. Biden wins, I'm still optimistic that we'll have a backlash of a public tired of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll just add one thing, and that is, this Epoch Times is actually quite a unique publication. They've even had articles in the last few weeks about the importance of positive news, you know, and I actually got a subscription. They deliver it to my door every Friday. And so I really encourage people. It's actually, yes, they do address very serious issues. They had an article, for example, about Socrates and the mob and how a pure democracy can actually backfire, that you need a republic where you have checks and balances, because of course Socrates was killed by the democracy. They voted to execute him, the majority. So yeah, Epoch Times is a good anecdote for the negative news in most media.
To really understand the problem and the scandal scam extraordinaire that is climate change. You want to go read the op-ed here from Dr. Jay Lehrer and Tom Harris, Stopping Climate Change is a Laughing Matter. You know, you want to push these out to the public, please. That's really what you want to do. Now, Jay and Tom, they are weekly writers, contributors. They're amazing and have been such a blessing here to us, to this platform here. And as Jay just said, he is the biggest optimist of the platform. And he's right. He has said that before, and he's absolutely correct. But they bless us in so many ways with, first of all, truth, like they put here, but also to hear their voices. That's the unique thing about, I guess, America Out Loud, if there's many, but it's the fact that not only can you can read the written form, but you can hear the voices behind it. Isn't that kind of cool, though, that you can? I mean, we are unique in that capacity, that you can hear us on talk radio and on podcast, and you can read as well. So that's pretty amazing. All of their write-ins, by the way, if you go to, just go into bloggers, go into Tom Harris and Dr. Jay Lehrer, put your mouse there, and you'll get, I mean, just a beautiful library of really amazing articles, op-eds that you'll get on these topics, as well as other things. They cross over in socialism and politics, and they're well-versed on all these things, but you'll get a good sampling of what these guys are about by looking at all of that. So I encourage you to do that. There's so much content. They always told me as a young lad, content is king. So I thought, well, if we're going to, make anything happen, I thought years ago when we launched America Out Loud, we better have great content and we better have enough of it. You see, that's kind of where I started this thing back in April 2016. And by golly, here we are. And it really is an emphasis of great content. And it's about details in life. It's one step at a time. That's what I think it is. Doing it well, doing it really, execution at the highest level. That's more important than the quantity. It's the quality, I think. And it's attention to detail. We all should aspire to that in our lives, I believe. It will make the difference, and it will separate you as a winner from the losers out there who don't focus on these sorts of details. Always just an incredible privilege for me to have my friends, Dr. Jay Lehrer, Tom Harris here with us here on The Voice of a Nation. There's a lot more. You'll hear their voices again well before election time. I've been thinking about just talking to them today, the different talks we need to have and the things that they're so full of knowledge and great information to share with the world. But again, it's all back at America Out Loud, my friends, and we are in a very busy election season. We've got all the torches lit and burning over here and burning the midnight oil, but we're ready to take it to them. And whatever happens here, we will carry forward, and we believe in our nation and believe in our liberty always. Thank you for being on the mission with me here today. It's time to get involved and get loud.